All right, Romans chapter 12. Let's get started looking at the Word of God. We're going to start with verse number 3. And if you'll stand in honor of the Word that has been sovereignly preserved for our edification today, I hope that you are prepared to hear from God. I've got some visual aids that I hope will help us get the most out of this. And I'll do my best to contain myself. This is a good word for us today. And I hope God's grace will be sufficient to help me to make it a good word. Paul writes, "For I say through the grace given unto me." So Paul has received grace and he's writing in this grace as an apostle to every man. And that's a human. So every male and every female that is among you. Now he's writing to the church at Rome. So among you now translates to us at 517 Glensford Drive, Berean Baptist Church. We are not to think of ourselves, himself, herself, more highly than he or she ought to think, but to think soberly or seriously or sensibly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, talking about a human body, and all members have not the same office or the same function, hands don't do what kidneys do, and kidneys don't do what hands do, so we being many are one body in Christ. Verse 4 is the human body. Verse 5 is the church. And everyone one member of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. Or to us. Whether prophecy then prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Father, the Apostle Paul has presented to us this morning 7 spiritual gifts that we as the body of Christ need to gain a better understanding. Help us to do that this morning in Jesus' name. Be glorified in the preaching and teaching of your word. Amen. And you may be seated. You remember last week we focused on this pretty exclusively. We talked about how no one in the body of Christ needs to think too highly of themselves. We said that there were 2 errors very common in a body of Christ. One is that people think too highly of themselves. They are arrogant and they are prideful and they are filled with pride. And they really think they are a big deal. And it really begins to create divisions in the church. Those that do and those that don't. Those that serve and those that don't. And on and on. Those that keep the rules and those that don't. Those that are smart and those that aren't. Those that are tall. And it really sets ourselves up for arrogancy and pride in the church. And that's not a good thing. Then the second group that we really didn't get into enough last week was these that don't think enough of themselves. These are the people that want to slit their wrists every time you're around them and they're miserable to be around. They're negative. They're always saying something bad about themselves. I'm too this. I'm not this enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not athletic enough. I could never do that. I can't teach. I'm not this. And they really put themselves down. I mean, all they do is put themselves down week after week after week, day after day. These people are not helping the body of Christ. They think that they're real humble. But in fact, what they're doing is ignoring what God has done in them. They're ignoring the fact that God has given them natural abilities. They're ignoring the fact that God's given them talents. They're ignoring the fact that they do have a spiritual gift and they are supposed to be serving the body of Christ with that spiritual gift. But their low self-esteem of themselves interferes with them serving. I could never do that. I could never do that. They're so negative that they're never going to be used of God like they're supposed to be. Almost like the guy who has one talent, he goes and buries it in the dirt and never does anything with it because he's so down on himself. These people need to take a more sensible look at who they are. And so Paul says they need to think soberly. They need to be objective. They need to realize, yes, I do have talents. I do have a brain. God has given me things and I can serve in the church. So you see what our 2 extremes are this morning, church? One is way too high, arrogant, prideful, filled with pride. What's the other one? Way too low. They're not doing anything in the body of Christ because they think so poorly of themselves. And what Paul says is they need to be a little bit more moderate in how they think of themselves. They need to be a little bit more sensible. They don't need to be way over here in this extreme or way down here in this extreme. They need to get a much more realistic outlook on who they are in Christ. So now this morning we want to change our focus and we want to look at what is the relationship between grace and faith and spiritual gifts. And I'm going to use these instruments here to help us get a hold of this. So this morning, this bucket is going to be our grace bucket right here. This will represent grace, and we're going to use it all morning to talk about grace. And then over here will be our faith bucket. This will be our faith bucket. This is where we get faith from. And then I'm going to talk about spiritual gifts. Please notice in verse number 3 and then verse number 6 of your Bible. I want you to draw this. We're going to extract 4 and 5 for just a moment, and let's look together at verse number 3. For I say through the grace given unto me. So there's the grace bucket. And then he says, a measure of faith. You see it right there on the last part of the verse, a measure of faith. So here's what the Bible teaches. God in his sovereignty has given you grace in a measure of faith. Okay? What has he given you? He's given you a gift. He's given you a gift. Go to our next slide, Art. He's given you a gift. Now he says 4 and 5 is the body. He's going to draw analogy with this gifting idea. He's going to compare us, our congregation right here, all of us that are part of Berean Baptist Church, regularly part of us, to a human body. And what he's going to show us this morning is that if those of you that have the gift of teaching or the gift of mercy or the gift of prophecy or whatever it is, if you choose not to use your gift, you're making us go like this as a church. That's not very, we don't want to operate as a church like that. That's hard. You don't get much accomplished when you can't see. Right? Or how about this one? Operate as a church without one leg. Because everyone on the leg's not going to use their leg. So you as a church operate like this. Not very effective, is it? All right, imagine for a moment your mouth goes on strike. No more eating. I'm not working. There'll be no more food coming into this body. You want food to come in this body? Find another way to get food in the body. It's not coming through the mouth. You're going to starve to death. That's the analogy. You're saying you're being ridiculous. No, I'm not. That's exactly what Paul meant. He's saying your body has 2 arms, 2 legs, kidneys, lungs, eyes, a brain, and you need every part of your body to work together. Likewise, Paul's teaching us this morning that we are the body of Christ. And if everyone doesn't get in there and use their gifts, you're forcing us as a church to walk around with one leg tied all the time. We can't run very fast. We can't do much of anything because some members of the body are refusing to do what they're supposed to do. You see, legs walk, legs run, legs step. Casting Crowns has that great song, we are his body, hands, feet, we do things. And Paul's going to show us this morning that when those of you that have the gift of mercy, or those of you that have the teaching gift, or those of you that are generous and you've been given that gift, when you say, I'm not using my gift in this church anymore, you are handicapping us as a church. Go on, Art. And so the word gifts comes from the word grace. I've got an arrow there showing you. I want you to see how Paul draws a parallel there. Can someone help me remember where I put down the clicker? Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's in my pocket. Okay, here we go. There we go. There we go. Here it is. Amen. There we go. We found it. This word gifts right here, having then gifts, it comes from the word grace. Here's the grace word. See this? C-H-A-R-I-S. And then the gifts is charisma. So there you see it? So what are these? These are grace gifts. What are you saying? I'm saying from God's big, large, huge bucket of grace, he dishes out to the body of Christ grace gifts. Here you go. Here's your grace gift. Here's your grace gift. Here's your grace gift. You say, how in the world? I don't see that gift. You have to believe it by faith. By faith. By faith. You see, your gift is not, you can't grab a hold of your gift. You can't check your gift out. You can't take a litmus test for yours. You can't test for it. Your gift, you have to believe it by faith. And so you get a measure of faith to believe you've been given a gift. And then you are supposed to take that gift and use it in the body of Christ. You're supposed to use that gift in the body of Christ. Now, there are actually in the Bible 19 spiritual gifts. We're only going to focus on the 7 in this passage. At birth, you're given natural abilities. Some of you have some athletic abilities that are just awesome. I mean, you're born dribbling, you're born kicking, or musical. Some people are born with incredible musical abilities. I mean, they just naturally fall hands onto a piano. Those are natural abilities. Those are wonderful. You should use those in the body of Christ. You should use them in life. Those are talents. Those are natural abilities. Some of you can just build things. I mean, you can see something. You don't even need plans. You're the kind of person that doesn't look at instructions or directions. You just build it. You put it together. That's a natural ability. We're not talking about those this morning. This morning, we're talking about spiritual gifts. You know when you get a spiritual gift? When you're born again. When you're born again. See, you're gifted when you're born, and then at your conversion, when you're made a new creature in Christ, you're given a spiritual gift, at least one spiritual gift. Some have more than that. So here's the question. What are your spiritual gifts? Because every single person needs to know what your spiritual gifts are. Not knowing what your spiritual gifts is like being an arm and having no idea what the arm does. What am I here for? I have no idea why I'm here. What does the arm do? That's like a person in the body of Christ having no idea what their spiritual gifts are. Or the eye saying, well, what am I? I'm just below here. I'm above a little bit to the nose. I'm above the cheek line. What do? I have no idea. See, eye knows what the eye does. The eye looks, the eye sees, brings in information, sends it to the brain. The brain sends it all over the place. When you are in the body of Christ and you're hanging out as a member, but you have no idea what your gifts are, you're like a body part that has no idea why you're part of the body. You're just hanging on. You use oxygen, you take blood in. That's why everyone this morning needs to be challenged from the Holy Spirit. What is your gift? Because he says, look at it, please. Having then gifts differing according as the grace given unto us. So Doug is not going to have the same gift that Bill's going to have or the same gift that Chris is going to have. You're all going to be given different gifts. Why does he do that? Well, we don't want a body which everything does what the leg does. That wouldn't be very well. Can you imagine every part of the body does what the leg does? That wouldn't function very well. Eyes don't need to be jealous of what the nose does. Nose doesn't need to be jealous of what the eyes do. Hands need to be content being hands. Feet need to be content being feet. Likewise, in the body of Christ, those that teach, teach well. Those that have the gift of mercy, be merciful. Those that preach, preach. Whatever your gift is, use it, and don't worry about those that don't have your gift or those that do have your gift. Aren't you glad that the entire body's not all the same, that we've got some diversity in this church? And who sends us that diversity? God does. God sent you to this church to give your gifts back to the body of Christ. And so I'm going to use this idea of a conduit this morning to help you with this. We know what a conduit does in a home. Something flows through a conduit, right? It could be a fiber cable. It could be water. It could be natural gas. Something flows through a pipeline, right? A spiritual gift is given to the body of Christ to send something through it. So here's the analogy I want you to get. Here's the concept. I'm going to set it up here. I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but I want you to see it. I take the measure of faith that God gave me by faith. I go over to the bucket of grace, and I, using my spiritual gift, become a conduit to distribute grace. I can do it through showing mercy. I can do it through teaching. I can do it through preaching. I can do it through exhortation. I can do it through whatever spiritual gifts God has given me. I, by faith, I'll go over here because I don't see it. I'm believing by faith, fill it up with faith, go over to God's grace bucket, get some grace. And then because I've been gifted to teach the Word of God, I believe that's my spiritual gift, I'm going to distribute grace to the body of Christ this morning. You're going to take some grace in by using what God's given me from the Word of God. I believe by faith that I'm doing more than just talking. You see, talking would be just sharing words, dot, 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 dot. No, that's not what I'm here this morning. I'm here to move from God's bucket of grace, Dave. I want to move some grace into your family's life. I want you to walk away this service with some grace. What is grace? Well, we'll talk about that. Next slide. These spiritual gifts are a way of distributing really Christ. What? Where'd you get that from, preacher? I got that from 1 John 1:14 when Jesus said that he's full of grace and truth. So essentially what you do with your spiritual gift, Bob, is you show people Jesus. You show them Jesus. Jesus is not going to come down into the congregation this morning and hug someone that's hurting. Jesus is not going to come down into the congregation this morning and teach the Word of God. He's not going to come to your Sunday school class and teach the Word of God this morning. Jesus is not going to give to the church in an offering. Jesus is not going to do that this morning. Who's going to need to do it? Exactly. We are. We are. And so you take your spiritual gift over here, whatever it happens to be, and you use that to give the church Jesus. Let me show you some Jesus this morning. Jesus wants to hug you this morning, and I'm going to hug you for Jesus. Jesus wants to give you a gift this morning, and I'm going to give you that gift for Jesus. Jesus wants to teach you this morning, so I'm going to teach for Jesus this morning. What? I don't see that. You're doing it by faith. You're doing it by faith. You're doing it by faith. You're saying this morning, I'm going to take the Word of God, and by faith, I'm going to believe that God is going to use me to be a conduit. A conduit is what something flows through. So what I want to be this morning is a conduit for Jesus. You're going to go to the hospital this week. Somebody's going to be in the hospital. They're going to be sad. They're going to be hurting. They're going to need some grace. They're going to need to see Jesus in the hospital bed. Well, Jesus is not going to come visit them in the hospital bed if you don't go. So you're going to take the spiritual gift of mercy that God's given you, and you're going to go to the hospital, and by faith, you're going to believe that God's going to give you a scoop of grace. You're going to take that grace with you to the hospital, and you're going to go into that room, and you're going to give some grace to that person. Turn to 1 Peter 4 and let me see if I can do a better job of explaining it because I'm not sure I'm connecting yet. And I really want to, I want us to see this as a church. 1 Peter 4, maybe Peter will help us in understanding this. Peter doesn't give us seven gifts. He gives us two gifts. Peter's not going to go into a big list. He's just going to say there are two types of gifts. A speaking gift and a serving gift. So let's all go to 1 Peter together. And let's look together at verse number 10 and 11 from chapter 4. Must be warm outside because it's warm in here. All right, let's look at verse 10 and 11 together. Art, if you go to our next slide. As every man, now remember, that's not just the males, that's males and females. So every believer, so if you're born again this morning, you've received the gift. What gift? The grace gift. The grace gift. It could be a speaking gift. It could be a serving gift. But you've received a gift. All right, what am I going to do with that? Even so, minister. Even so, serve. Even so, bless others. So I'm going to take that gift and I'm going to minister. Who? One to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now get this now, please. You know what a steward does? A steward manages something for someone. That's what a steward does. So I'm going to manage God's grace. I'm going to take God's grace with me, and I'm going to be His manager of grace. I've got grace with me everywhere I go because I'm a steward of God's grace. And here I am carrying grace with me everywhere I go, and I want to serve. All right? Now I'm going to embarrass you for a minute, Judy, but that's just the way it goes. You probably won't quit the church. You seem a faithful person, so you can be embarrassed. Judy has the spiritual gift of serving. She loves to serve others. She's not looking for a name, a building named after her. She's not looking for a certificate or a check in the mail. She just loves to serve. So what Judy's going to do is she's going to, by faith, believe, God, I believe by faith, you're going to use me as I make these hamburgers up to give grace to people. Do you understand what he's saying there? The manifold grace. Why are you serving? I want to give some grace into somebody's life. I want to dish some grace out. They're hurting. They need some of God's good favor. They need to experience God's love. They need a hug from Jesus. And I'm going to take this grace by faith because God gave me a measure of it. And I'm going to go over to the grace bucket and I'm going to serve the church. And in serving the church, I'm going to baptize you with some grace. I'm going to give you some grace. I'm going to bring grace into your life. Go on to the next slide, please. Verse number 11. Then he says, those of you who've got a speaking gift. So there are some people in our church that serve. They have a serving gift. There are others that have a speaking gift. You can teach the Word of God. You can prophesy. You can exhort. You use your mouth to help the body of Christ. And so he says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So this is what he's teaching us. If you've got a speaking gift, make sure you line it up with the Word of God. If you speak in this church, if you're a teacher in this church, if you preach in this church, if you exhort in this church, if you lead in this church, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. But make sure you do it with the Word of God. It reminds me of the Andy Griffith episode when they're all sitting on the front porch after church and they're sitting there and they talk about, why don't we, I know some of you, that's half the church doesn't watch Andy Griffith. Half, preacher, are you kidding? Nobody watches Andy Griffith. All right, I'll move on. I won't even use that one. And you guys are missing out. That is a great show. Too bad on you. All right, they're all sitting on the porch on Sunday afterwards. And somebody says, why don't we go get a soda pop? And someone says, well, yeah, that'd be a good idea. Let's go get a soda pop. Then they sit some more. You've seen the episode. They sit some more. And then they just get excited. Just do it, do it, do it, do it. That's where we're at in the church. Stop talking about your gift and just do it. Instead of saying, why don't I go visit somebody in the hospital? Go visit someone in the hospital. Instead of saying, why don't I show some mercy? Go show some mercy. Stop talking about it and start doing it. Grace is not limited to salvation. Grace is God's disposition to exercise goodwill toward the redeemed of the Lord. You need some goodwill. I need some goodwill. I'm sad this week, God. I'm depressed this week, God. I'm hurting this week, God. I wonder, does anybody even know I exist this week, God? I'm on the verge of committing suicide. You know what's happening more and more in the body of Christ? And I'm going to tell you right now, somebody who's on the verge of suicide, you know what they need in their life? They need some goodwill from God Almighty. They need somebody to come rushing to their life and say, you were made in the image of God. God redeemed you. God loved you. God died on a bloody cross for you. God cares for you. Don't you dare commit suicide. You've got more to offer to the body of Christ. What are they receiving in that moment? They're receiving grace, church. They're receiving what the natural man has no idea. Some of you this morning go, what in the world is he talking about? You know why you have no idea what I'm talking about? Because you're not converted. You have to be born again to understand what grace is. You don't understand this. You look at this guy, he's all hot and bothered and sweating over what? Can't imagine. I'm talking to you about the most awesome thing you'll ever receive in your entire life, which is God's grace. Who dispenses grace, Pastor? The Spirit of grace dispenses grace. According to Hebrews 10:29, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of grace. So we believe by faith that the Holy Spirit is going to use me by faith to distribute grace. I can't see it, preacher. No, you can't see it. John chapter 3, Jesus told Nicodemus that the Holy Spirit works just like the wind. You don't see where it's coming from. You don't see where it's going, but it works. So here's my analogy. Let me help you. Let me see if I can use another illustration to get the church to understand this. All right, let me turn this thing on. Okay, anybody see anything coming out? Anybody see anything coming out? Can anyone see anything? All right, can y'all feel that? You know what you're feeling? Grace. You can't see it. You can't see it. You can't see it. You don't see grace. But you sure can feel it, can't you, Meredith? It feels great. Grace feels great. When you get some grace into your life, you know when you've got a hold of some grace. When God comes rushing in your life with grace and your sins have been forgiven and people love you and you're in a right relationship with God, you can feel that. You can't see it, but you sure can feel it. I love it right there. The sweat feels great. So what are you doing, preacher? What are you saying? I'm saying that we as a church, we walk around with our fan of grace. And we walk around bringing some grace into your life, Doug. I'm God's instrument of grace. I'm going to come right over here. Sister, I want to give you some grace. I can do that any number of ways. I can teach the Word of God. That brings grace. I can preach the Word of God. That brings grace. I might sit beside you and give you a great exhortation. Just say, brother, stay with the stuff. Hang in there. Let's go forward. Stay faithful. That might be exhortation at that point. I'm just encouraging him. You know what that is? That's grace speaking into his life. Y'all getting it? All right, next slide while I find the clicker. Windmills. We're powering more and more and more by what? By the wind. You can't see it, but it's making something happen. You know what that is? That's grace coming into the body of Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, nothing would turn this church upside down more if every believer said, what is my gift? And I'm going to get busy using that gift in the church. Your gift is not to come and sit on a pew on Sunday morning. I promise you that. That's not your spiritual gift. What is it then, preacher? It could be prophecy. It could be service. It could be teaching, exhortation, generosity. It could be leadership. It could be mercy. So let's go over the seven very quickly. Number one, prophecy, speaking the word of God. We don't believe that today someone has the gift to walk up and say, Bill, I got a word from God from you that 3 weeks from now. We don't have anyone has that gift today. We believe in the Old Testament. Old Testament prophets had that gift. We believe that the apostles had that gift to be able to speak the future. We don't think anyone has that today. Peter said, let it be done according to the oracles of God. So if you have this gift and you can preach, preach in this church, but make sure you line it up with the Word of God. Number two, how about the gift of serving, ministering? Some of you have some incredible talents. Dave Breen, where are you, Dave, this morning? Dave Breen. I know he was. There he is, all the way in the back. There we go. You were sitting right up here, weren't you, Dave? You moved on me. Dave Breen is one of our deacons. Dave Breen has the spiritual gift of serving. He can build things. He can put things together. He's a fine carpenter. He serves the body of Christ with those gifts. He takes those skills that he's been given, those natural abilities, carpenter skills, fine thinking skills, electrical skills, and he pours them back into the body of Christ. Tony Derry, where are you, Tony, this morning? Are you here? He's probably recovering. I wore him out yesterday on that paintball range. Yeah, he's probably home recovering, nursing his wounds and everything. All right. He's probably out in the hallway, going to come barging in here any minute. Tony goes out there, and what's he do? He serves the body of Christ. How does he serve the body of Christ? He stands in the hot sun at 12 o'clock to help empty the parking lot out. You know what that is? That's serving us. That's bringing grace into your life. I don't see that as grace. You getting to the restaurant 5 minutes before everyone else, that's grace, folks. See what kind of attitude you have if we can't empty out of this parking lot. Nothing will get us more irritated than parking problems. So again, serving the body of Christ, taking whatever you have and giving back. All right, here's our third one, teaching. Teaching's everywhere, folks. Teaching is small groups, teaching is children, teaching is vacation Bible school, teaching is youth group, teaching is one-on-one discipleship. Steve Davies is in Yemen. He's in Yemen right now. Steve Davies on a regular basis would disciple a new convert one-on-one on Wednesday nights. Just him and one more person sitting down. You know what he's doing? He's using his teaching spiritual gift to bring grace into a new convert's life. If you can teach the Word of God, we need you. You cannot sit here and do nothing with that teaching gift. So then let's make sure we understand what we're saying here. We take our teaching gift by faith and we believe that God is going to use that teaching skill that we've been given, whatever that is, a teaching skill. Some of you can teach well. You've been taught teaching in the military. You can teach how to assemble and disassemble weapons and tactics and all kinds of stuff. You say, what does that have to do with the Word of God? By faith, you believe that God is going to use that natural teaching ability you have to turn it into a spiritual gift whereby other people get grace. That's how it works, folks. If that's foreign to you, I'm just explaining to you how God does it. God takes natural abilities and talents. He gives you spiritual gifts. He puts those things together. And by faith, you give back to the body of Christ grace. And you do it according to the measure of faith that you have. Here's exhortation. Exhortation is when you come along somebody and you encourage them. Somebody's been out of church for weeks and weeks. Someone needs to do right. A husband and wife have split up and they're a temporary separation. And you know that's not God's will for them. And God's given you the spiritual gift of exhorting. So you come alongside them. He said, brother, I need to urge you. I want to encourage you. I want to be your accountability partner. And you bring into that marriage some accountability, some help, some grace. Here's one. Here's this incredible gift called generosity. Several of you in this church, and they don't even want me to embarrass them, several in this church have the gift of generosity. Anytime we have a need, you are writing a check. You say, I can be generous. God has blessed me with the ability to make money, and I can be generous. How's that work with grace? That's an amazing thing. Light bills get paid. Rent gets taken care of. You don't think that's receiving God's good grace? Let you be ready to be moved out or lose your place or have to go into bankruptcy and have someone bring in a check for $1,000, bail you out. You know what you're receiving? Grace. Some people can't afford to go to a retreat or to a conference or something like that. We've got children that are going to the academy on scholarships from other people. What they're bringing into that family is grace. And so if God's giving you this generosity, use it, use it, use it in the body of Christ. Here's one called leadership or ruling or administered. You can just organize things well. You are a good organizer. Steve Wilson has this gift. He loves numbers. He loves administrative things. He likes to keep us within budget. That's the gift that God has given Steve Wilson, and he uses it in the body of Christ. We learned this morning, I'm going to embarrass Dean for a minute, but we learned this morning in our first class how Dean in first class used that spiritual gift in Puerto Rico after a volcano had hit the island. People were starving to death. He used his administrative gift to cut through red tape in the government to get people in there to help these people. Go down to Haiti and use your spiritual gift in a short-term mission trip. Use it in the body of Christ. Help organize Awana. Help organize Sunday school. Or help organize Vacation Bible School. That would be how you might use this spiritual gift. Here's this awesome spiritual gift called mercy. This is the one that I want to work on more than anything else as a pastor. This is the number one. This is when you see someone hurting and you just rush to them. You know that they're hurting. You can sense what hurting looks like. And you just speak to them, Doug. You say, man, brother, you look like you're hurting. Can I pray with you right now? You send them a note in the mail. You send them a card. You send them an encouraging remark. You know, this spiritual gift is compassion. It's loving people. Church, do we need more of this gift? Sure we do. Sure we do. Sure we do. We need more people to recognize when people are hurting. If someone's crying, they're hurting, folks. We don't walk by people that are crying in the body of Christ. Look, folks, let me give you an analogy. If this leg gets cut, I'm going to patch it. I'm not going to let it keep bleeding. Something's going on here. We're going to put a piece of cloth on there. Pressure's going on here. If that doesn't work, we're going to the doctor. This leg's not going to keep on bleeding, is it? All right, what do we do in the body of Christ? When someone's hurting, we take a pressure dressing and put it on there. You see that person hurting. You feel them hurting. You know they just lost their father, their mother, that they're going through a hard divorce. Something's going on in their life. I'm not going to know about every hurt in this body. This is a big body of Christ. You're going to know about hurts that I don't know about, Judy. You're going to know about hurts that I don't know about. And when you know about hurts, you minister to them. You say, Pastor, I could never do that. I don't have the faith to do that. That's why you go to the bucket of faith with your scoop and you say, God, I need some more faith because I've got to give some grace to somebody. And I don't have any idea how I'm going to give grace. I've never made a hospital visit before. I've never prayed with someone before. I've never taught a Sunday school class before. I don't know how I'm going to do this, John. You know what? I need some faith, God. So go to God's bucket of faith that's endless and say, I need some more faith because I need a bucket full of grace or a measure of faith to minister right here. All right. Where in the world are you getting that from? Because it says right here, every man desert a measure of faith. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What if I don't have enough faith, preacher? I don't have enough faith to teach. I don't have enough faith to minister. This is what I do. I follow the disciples' examples. You know what the disciples said? Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. So here we go. Let me use my measuring cup analogy because I need you to get this, please. This is how much faith you think you have right now. This is the measure you think you have. And you know, that's not enough faith to give generously. Or that's not enough faith to go to a hospital. Or that's not enough faith to teach a Sunday school class. Or that's not enough faith to go on a mission trip. Or that's not enough faith. You pick it, whatever it is. So you go to God and you say, God, this measuring cup's not going to work today. I need this measuring cup to do what I'm doing. All right, let's talk about that. You ever get tired of praying to the God about all physical needs, physical, physical, physical? Lord, heal my this. And it's always physical needs, job, job. Don't you think that our Heavenly Father would love to hear a prayer request increase my faith? Don't you think our Heavenly Father would just love for for us to fall before Him. God, hey God, today I'm not coming to You for a raise. I'm not coming to You for a new house. I'm not coming to You for a job. No, that's not why. No, today, God, today I'm here for more faith, God. I don't have enough faith to teach. I don't have enough faith to be merciful. I don't have enough faith to go into that hospital room where it smells and they're dying and they're hurting. I'm not ready for that, God. And God says, I know You're not ready for that. So you, my brother, go to the bucket of faith and get yourself some more faith. Because the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Why would they need their faith increased? Because they're going to be asked to do something to give out more grace. And in order to give out more grace, you need a larger measurement of faith. Y'all getting it? You getting it? So we don't say around here, we don't say, no, I could never do that. No, I can't do that. I could never make that visit. I could never be compassionate. That's not what we say. You know what we say around here? Lord, increase my faith. I can do this, God. I can teach this. I can work this. I can minister. I can serve. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but by Your grace, that's what Paul said, I've been given a measure of faith and I'm going to do it. You see, by faith we believe there's a God. By faith we believe Jesus is the Son of God. By faith we believe the Bible is the Word of God. By faith we believe we've been given a spiritual gift. And by faith we believe that God uses our spiritual gift to give out grace. So faith is what moves a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led action to a conduit of grace. All right, so let's talk about that. Dave Dundor coaches soccer. He loves the game of soccer. He thinks soccer. He breathes soccer. He takes soccer in, puts soccer out. He eats, drinks, and sleeps soccer a lot. Maybe not all consuming, but a lot. All right, that's a natural thing. That's a natural thing. There are lots of soccer coaches all over the world. But Dave's a born-again believer. Dave's a born-again believer. So he can't be like every other soccer coach. So by faith... By faith, Dave says, God, I know You've given me a natural ability to enjoy this game, and I can work with boys and girls. So by faith, God, I'm going to believe that You're going to use soccer to be a conduit of grace. I'm just not an average soccer coach. I'm just not your typical soccer coach or your typical Dean baseball coach. I now have to coach baseball as a born-again believer, which means by coaching baseball, I will become a conduit of God's grace. I'm not just going to focus on hitting and catching and fielding. No, that's what every unbeliever focuses on. Now, in teaching them how to hit, teaching them how to catch, and all that stuff, I want to be today, God, on this field, a conduit of Your grace. Right, Dave? Every day. God, You have sovereignly sent these soccer players to me today. And I, for the next 75 minutes, get to work with these soccer players who You have sovereignly sent to this team. And so as a coach working with these, I need some grace because I have to give out into their lives grace. Because these boys and girls need to see Jesus. And the only Jesus they are going to see is the one I show them as a baseball coach, as a soccer coach, as a musician on the stage, taking my skill to sing, Brother Horn, and using that to minister into the hearts and minds of dads who need some grace this morning. And so, our three men who sang this morning take a moment of prayer and they come up to the stage. And they say, Our Father, by faith we believe that You're going to use this song to minister into the grace. Because we're not up here as unsaved singers. We are born again believers who have been given a spiritual gift. And we are wanting to serve the body of Christ with the natural ability to sing. We want to turn that into a spiritual gift. So by faith, God, we believe as we sing, and I won't sing, as we sing into this mic, that You are going to minister to that congregation grace. And dads who need to be encouraged this morning are going to get some encouragement. Dads who need to be reminded of how awesome their responsibility are going to be reminded. dads are going to sit like I did and cry for a moment as we think about what it is to be a dad through this song. Are you getting it this morning, church? Are you seeing how we come together as a body and legs do what legs do and arms do what arms do and kidneys do what kidneys do and teeth chew food up and eyes lead and brain processes and ears hear? And when we all collectively work together using our spiritual gifts in a unique and special way, what we end up doing is dispensing grace to ourselves all over the place. I mean, grace is flowing all over this church, across the street, on soccer games, baseball games, everywhere it goes. Jim, isn't that what you're trying to do with the financial piece? Aren't you trying to bring some grace into some homes that are struggling financially? And the financial struggles are just tearing apart the marriage. And by getting this in order, you're going to bring into that family some grace? Next slide, please. So what are your gifts? What are your gifts? What are your gifts? All the way in the back, what are your gifts? Everybody has a gift. Everybody. Paul's very clear. We all have gifts. There's no one that can hang out and say, I don't have a gift. You have a gift. You have a gift. Now you've got to figure out what that gift is and how I can serve in my local New Testament church. You're an out-of-town guest. No problem. Go back to your church and serve. Same message. Body of Christ. You're not part of this fellowship. You're not going to stay here. No problem. Your preacher wants you to hear this message, and he wished he would have preached it to his congregation this morning. Because every church is looking for more grace. Every church is looking for more people to minister. There isn't any church that's fully functioning. We all need to get some more of this. Next slide. So, here's our final application question for you to answer personally. How are you committing this morning to serve? You have a speaking gift? Start using it. You have a serving gift? Start using it. You have the gift of mercy? Work on being more merciful. Find out when there's a funeral. Find out when someone lost their life. Find out when someone's in the hospital. See when there's a divorce. If you see someone crying in the body of Christ, don't walk by them. They're hurting. We don't walk by people who are hurting. We understand this from a physical perspective. Nobody in this church would walk by somebody bleeding on the carpet and not do something about that. But we're bleeding inside, we're dying inside, and we're walking by each other, not even saying anything. We've got to stop and say, let me by faith be an instrument of grace, because obviously Bill needs some mercy right now, and I'm going to show him some compassion. So what's your gift this morning? What's your gift? Where's your gift? Where's your gift? Where's your gift? And then how are you going to serve? Let's pray.